Here's the thing. This frantic, schizophrenic zeitgeist is going to continue for years and years and years. It's not going to back down in intensity or anything like that. There will be respite occasionally. $1 billion will be sent to the Black Foundation, and that will give Amazon time to rebuild its flame-engulfed warehouses. But over the next 10 years, small businesses are going to be destroyed. What's left is going to be this increasingly consolidating funhouse of mega businesses. And the tone of mainstream media is going to keep getting more and more hardcore until you straight up have Saul Alinsky shit being said on the news, the nightly news. It's going to become harder and harder to find independent media. Google is going to get worse. Search results are going to get worse. You're going to be thinking about something you heard months ago, about something that's contra to the narrative. You're going to look it up. It's going to be gone. And in general, the United States and Europe and your life and the internet is going to get more and more like a Hall of Mirrors nightmare. The weirdness and sinisterness of the mechanisms used to prevent people from realizing what's up are hard to pinpoint, hard to talk about. If you even start to have a conversation with somebody about it, you're going to sound like you're going crazy. The highest tier of reasoning that goes against the narrative that most people are capable of holding in their head for more than 10 seconds is, it's all the big businesses, dude. It's these corporations, bro. They want us to hate each other. Not saying that there's not a slice of truth to that. Dude, people are crazy, bro. You know what I'm talking about, because you see it on your Facebook feed, if you're still stupid enough to have a Facebook feed.
Abs and a six-pack.
Abs and a six-pack!
It's Abs and a Six-Pack, broadcasting live on the 6th of January, 2021. We are doing it live.
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Joined by Hacker Mike of the Stream of hey. Random podcast.
What's happening, Chris?
How you doing, man? Stream of Random, available where all podcasts are sold.
We are newly on Apple iTunes as well.
I'm still not on there.
I can help you.
I think it's the image size is what is giving me problems.
Well, we'll talk about that after the show.
Okay. Well, anyways, man, crazy day. You were talking about something. Your dad got out of there in time, in the nick of time or something.
So my dad joined a busload of Patriots this morning. They got up at 4 o'clock this morning, and they drove down from Trumpistan, Pennsylvania, all the way to D.C. for the protest.
Thank you for your courage.
Thank you for your courage and your service. And, he made it out on time. They left at 4, and I guess he didn't storm the Capitol.
I saw
Walker.
Okay. I saw Baked Alaska, and Nick Fuentes and a couple other people were in Nancy Pelosi's office.
Baked Alaska. Hold on. I have to look that up.
He, you know who Nick Fuentes is, right?
Let's take a look.
And Baked Alaska. I think it was real. It looked like they were in Nancy Pelosi's office, and I saw a tweet from Nancy Pelosi that said, like, I got hacked, smiley face. So.
Damn.
It's shit's popping off. I mean, they really did take over the Capitol building. It's interesting. I don't know. I don't think it's a good look for MAGA. It's not going to win anybody over that is not already on the Trump train, I don't think. But
I think it's just going to be one more excuse that people are going to use. Well, first of all, let me just say that I think the people have raised objection to the vote count. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
They have interrupted the vote count. They've raised objection. That's what you call raising objection.
Yeah, to put it lightly.
Yeah. And it must have been planned.
It seems like they let him get in there. It seems like, I mean, there's a lot of talk that, like, the people, I don't, it's all speculation, but there's talk that, like, the real agitators in there were Antifa posing as Trump supporters, but, uh-huh. I mean, that can't be all of them, because you have, like I said, like, Baked Alaska and Nick Fuentes and a lot of the, uh-huh. quote-unquote, alt-right guys were involved with all that. I don't know. I do have, just since Twitter's trying to get rid of this, figured we could play Trump's statement. You can't retweet, like, or share it, but it is on Twitter.
Take a picture of it. So, in general, right-click and say save, or just control S and save the whole page.
Yeah.
If you're worried about something, there's different tools to archive, but generally the web browser will do a full save of the page with all the data in it.
Right. Yeah. And we can document the audio of it here. No text with this. It does say this claim is disputed, that in typical Twitter fashion for everything Trump says lately. But Trump made a statement. This was an hour ago that Trump tweeted out this video.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
There you go.
Wow.
And that pissed off both sides, because the left-wingers are like, oh, he's still egging them on by saying the election was stolen, and he's like, you know, egging them on. And then the MAGA people were like, oh, he's telling us to go home. Like, he's not even supporting us. So Trump didn't win many people over with that little statement, but I thought it was fine.
I think it's good that he said that.
Yeah, same. He didn't admit defeat in the election, but at the same time, he's like, hey, we got to do this peacefully. I think that was okay. Nobody seemed to like it, though.
He absolutely has to do that. He has to disavow violence, because, especially as a politician, it's exactly what is expected of him. It would be calls to violence to, let's say, to make him look like he's crazy, and to also
delegitimize.
Make him illegitimate. Yes, delegitimize.
Delegitimize.
Delegitimize. We don't want that.
Ain't nobody want that.
Nope.
Typical politician.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find a way to create an archive of a website. There's different tools for creating archives of websites, for snapshotting them.
Like a screenshot or like a full interactive page?
It's a full interactive page. Cool. There's a couple of them out there.
Like the Wayback Machine thing. Yeah, yeah.
You know the Wayback Machine, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here. Archive.today, looks like. Archive.st, here you go.
You people are fantastic.
You just type in the archive.st, you type in the twitter.com/realDonaldTrump, and hit archive.
Lots of people wanting Trump banned from Twitter today, I'm seeing. Which, of course, if you're talking Patton Oswalt and that type, they want him banned every day. But like, I've seen like people I know, like, enough is enough, banned the president from Twitter.
Yep.
So
And
this is so important. We have to do this.
This is the entire narrative of the left, which is because of fascism. And fascism is defined as anything, anything to the right of Stalin. We have to ban all free speech. And they have used that since the beginning of communism. They've used the threat of fascism to ban free speech from the very beginning. I have a whole bunch of podcasts on that. There's a whole history behind it. It goes back to the 30s. It went all the way to the UN. There was huge fights over... I did a whole podcast series on this. There's been huge fights on the United Nations, International Declaration of Human Rights, where the communist nations, under Russia, wanted to prevent any free speech as being a human right.
Yeah.
So
these people are crazy.
It's it is a long-term goal of whatever you want to call it, the communist agenda or the New World Order or whatever, like whatever group or term you want to give it. It's like, yeah, the step number one, and every tyrant throughout history understood this, like the first step is censorship of speech.
My term that I came up with is the cyber communist chairperson or chairman.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. Cyber communist.
If the cyber communist, it's more than just the old school communist party. We're talking about the censorship baked into the algorithm, where the foot soldiers, the Stasi, or the Stasi under Germany, the Stasi, the secret police, would engage neighbors to spy on each other, and everyone would be working for the Stasi. And that's what it's kind of like with Google and Facebook. Everybody's working for them. They have a job creation program to take every Starbucks barista and turn them into censors. They just sit them in their little cubicle at home in Austin and have them work on trouble tickets all day, feeding the machine, looking at videos and guiding the AI. They're just little cells in the global brain of the cyber communist.
My favorite thing that with that phenomenon that started happening, I think Facebook was the main news coverage of it, where they had people going through videos that get flagged to figure out which ones to censor. And there was this phenomenon where all the Facebook people having to censor conspiracy theories and remove Alex Jones videos, like a good percentage of them started to believe in the conspiracy theories.
they got red-pilled.
Yeah. hilarious.
Alex Jones has been more and more true. I mean, he'll just say, it's a false flag. Do you have any false flag clips from Alex?
I got this one. False flag. Let's see. What Alex do I got? I'll go to hell.
I will be, you know what? I will go to hell before I sit here and I watch this country and the world turned over to these savages. I'm done. I'm pissed, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. Let me tell you something, you filthy traitors of the government, you pieces of crap. You are the most degenerate, twisted, mentally ill people I've ever seen.
Yeah, no false flag. I got the classic one where he's feeding a bunch of llamas on the set of InfoWars cookies. It's a classic.
Can I give you a cookie? Can I give you a cookie? Oh, a cookie.
Yeah. And he doesn't feed his llamas fluoride.
Hey, you give your llamas fluoride? Hell no, we don't give them fluoride. I mean, that's something that really sinks in for people.
Yeah. So anyway, no, none of the... I mostly went for all the goofy Alex Jones ISOs. Not many of the... I don't really clip Alex when he's making a good point, at least as far as the short clips go.
Yeah. This is what really... So I was doing some research into Alex. There was that one clip where he's talking about the interdimensional aliens, and he's like, let me in, let me in.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Build this, let me in.
We're really going to help you. We're friendly little guys.
Yeah, we're friendly little guys.
Yeah, that's so good, dude.
But you think you could find that clip if you wanted to? And then I started researching into, like, I'm a big, like, archivist. I'm, like, a computer nerd. I, like, work on Wikipedia and archive.org, and I'm all into open data and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And open source. You know about open source?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com, and you got then that naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Yeah, no, yeah, oh, open source software is usually the way to go. I think a lot of what I'm using is open source VoiceMeter, Audacity, at least if my definition of open source is the same as yours. Yeah.
That's right. And I think I bought a domain, www.internet.com.
No way. Internet.com was not taken?
Yeah. It's www.dot.internet.com.
Oh, gotcha. www.
Yeah. I have to look up the, or was it email at internet? Anyway, I came up with some stupid email, domains like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. We've got to actually build up some content for that. So yeah, I'm trying to launch this whole meme.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't have that Alex Jones Open the Dimensions clip offhand, but there's plenty of those. That Ping Trip video is a really good boil down. The Meet the Alien by Ping Trip.
But let's just stop and say we need to archive all of InfoWars and transcribe the entire archive.
27 years of InfoWars?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is a project that needs to be done because there's
It's a hard pass on my end. That's too much work.
Well, too much work. Let's say too much work. Okay, I'm not saying that you have to do it. The one person has to do it. I'm into these whole community projects, like Wikipedia. How does Wikipedia work?
Right.
You know, but that I think that's defined as a goal. Like, we need to archive Alex Jones, and we need to actually index what he said and transcribe it, because there's so much information in there. And he's not working on a scientific level. He's not, like, collecting footnotes and presenting facts. He's just like...
Sometimes he does.
Said, what drives me crazy is you're hating me right now.
No, I love
because
you.
You're not drinking.
Yeah. But rarely, he rarely presents facts. He's like, oh, look it up yourself, right? Look it up. It's a fact. But he's not presenting like a scientific argument most of the time.
Yeah.
Like,
look, ridiculous.
Sometimes he'll do that. Document cam shot, please. He'll go through the... But yeah, you're right. A lot of times he just goes off on a kind of a crazy rant.
That's not how you open a can of pickles.
Pickles.
Pickles. Pickles. And even if he does present the documents, he's not, like, presenting the PDFs in his show notes, right, with references where he got them.
Be nice to him.
Let's be nice.
Come on now. Don't pick on
Alex. Well, okay, I'll be nice. Alex
it looks like
doing
you have
a great service. He's doing a great service to humanity.
Yeah. He has one of the best cooking shows on the web.
What? Chicken McNuggets.
It's really good. Alex will always be near and dear in my heart as, like, the greatest entertainer of all time, even though I don't always agree with him. Although most of the time I tend to agree with him. But,
controlled opposition and false flag. I think that's what we could say. I mean, it's possible that we could postulate that. We could say maybe they let them in. We don't know. Or it was...
Aww.
Or it was some... You know, they all of these groups are infiltrated by agents. Agent provocateurs. That's what
right.
That's the
well, even line. Even Alex knows he's evil.
I know I'm evil.
He knows. Now, I mean, I could talk about Alex all day, but, dude, I've been listening to your show, Stream of Random, which will be linked in the show notes, and you're on, you've, since the early on, the earliest episode I remember hearing you were on the mycelium network fungus kick that's tied into dimensions below and above us that shape our reality. And you've been fleshing out this theory that's very terrifying, but interesting. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the clips you brought, but you do have a bunch of clips or whatever. I don't know. I'm going to let you lead the discussion here.
Okay. Well, the clips I presented were from a previous episode, but there's no problem in repeating it. I think there's two Terrence clips, Terrence clip one and two. And then we can also then play the Alex Jones aliens. Alex Jones and Eddie Bravo from 9/11.
That's a great episode, by the way.
Yeah.
You want me to start with the first Terrence clip?
Sure.
Sweet.
That it was, in fact, an extraterrestrial. That, in fact, the physical body of the mushroom was the flesh of a species that did not evolve on Earth. That, and it said this, it had a whole rap. It said, yes, well, once a culture takes control of its, has complete understanding of its genetic information, it re-engineers itself for survival. And our version of that is a mycelial network strategy when in contact with a planetary surface, and a spore dispersion strategy in terms of, as a means of radiating throughout the galaxy. And though I am troubled with how freely Bell's non-locality theorem is thrown around, nevertheless, my friends on the other side do seem to be in possession of a huge body of information drawn from the history of the galaxy. And they say that there is nothing unusual about this, that man's conceptions of organized intelligence and the dispersion of life in the galaxy and this sort of thing are just hopelessly culture-bound, and that the galaxy has been an organized system for billions of years, and that life evolves under so many different regimens of temperature and pressure that searching for an extraterrestrial who will sit down and have a conversation with you is like searching for a good Italian restaurant out in the galaxy. The main problem with extraterrestrials is to recognize them, because time is so vast and evolutionary strategies so varied and environments so varied that the trick is to know that contact is being made at all.
There you go.
Yeah. That's, man, McKenna has such a way of just making your head spin. Did you say you read his book, True Hallucinations?
I didn't read any of his books. But I'll write that down.
Kind of hard to read, even though they're short. It's so egg-heady and wordy, but.
I used to read a lot. I was the kid in the library, reading all the books on UFOs and Bigfoot and occultism and all that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I didn't read, Terrence McKenna. I read books from, back in the old days, I read books from Timothy Leary, from Robert Anton Wilson. Those were great, great books.
And yeah, I liked Leary's, I think it was just called The Psychedelic Experience, but he basically Americanized the Tibetan Book of the Dead. That was cool. Him and Ram Dass did. But anyway, yeah, sorry to distract at hand. Summarizing what McKenna said, he always talks about the universe being a novelty generator, basically, where things exponentially get more and more, not intense, but what's the right word? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, but
like a reverse what's it called? It's called a not entropy, but like a reverse entropy generator.
Yeah, what's the I guess an accelerator wouldn't be the right word, would mm-hmm. it? Something like that.
That's a good way. I never heard that before. That's a great idea. That a novelty generator. So normally, entropy is like one of the laws of thermodynamics, where everything just generally goes to hell. Like structures fall apart, you know, things break apart. Everything turns into noise in the end, or just random mud. And a reverse entropy would be intelligence, meaning things are seeking some kind of form, have a purpose.
Right.
So that's kind of like intelligence.
Yeah. The counterpoint to that would be the movie Idiocracy.
Mm-hmm.
Where... No, I've been talking about that movie way too much lately, but it does seem like things are getting more and more interesting, not necessarily more and more intelligent, mm-hmm. but definitely more and more interesting.
Living I haven't crazy seen that times. Movie yet.
Oh, you got to watch that movie.
Where can you watch it?
At my house on DVD.
On DVD, no way.
No, yeah, I don't know.
I'll find it.
I might have a, well, if you want to take a tangent, I might have a clip, or two from okay. Idiocracy.
Sure.
We just did a movie review of it, recently here. But yeah, do you know the basic premise?
Please tell me. I know you might've mentioned it, but it's not fresh in my mind.
Okay. So it's Mike Judge, you know, King of the Hill and all that, but mm-hmm. basically, the
Beavis and Butthead.
Yes, the best. Yeah, Office Space. The basic premise is, it's 500 years in the future. I'll skip like the non-important details of why the main character ends up 500 years in the future. But he wakes up 500 years in the future after a military experiment, and what has happened is the smart people, because they were smart with their finances and weren't ready, they knew they weren't ready to have kids, slowly started reproducing mm-hmm. less, and the dumb people out just kept reproducing without giving a shit. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the really dumb people, since there weren't any natural predators for them because the world had been so nerfed, outbred all the smart people. So, like, 500 years later, everyone's basically retarded.
Oh, my God.
And if you watch... I mean, it's literally, I won't give too much, I guess there's not really, it's hard movie to spoil, except for just the jokes in it, but I think it holds up as like one of the most, and every year that goes by, it gets more and more timeless as just a prophecy fulfilled. Like the House of Representatives is the House of Representing, and the president's like Mountain Dew Doritos, Camacho, and like, Gatorade bought the FDA and outlawed water, shit like that.
That's great.
Yeah, it's. Let me see. I'll give you a. This just to counter Terrence McKenna's like, the novelty, ever increasing novelty doesn't necessarily imply ever increasing intelligence.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
So it's Luke Wilson plays the main character. He wakes up 500 years in the future. takes him a while to figure out that he's in the future. And like the Fuddruckers that used to be there, like you see an evolution of it over 500 years and it slowly changes to Fuddruckers. And then it, like it, by the time he wakes up, Fuddruckers, it, like he looks at Fuddruckers, it's got the, it, there's like a bunch of kids inside having like a birthday party and the sign just says Buttfuckers.
Oh no.
And yeah, it's, you got Carl's Jr. Their slogan is this.
Carl's Jr. Fuck you. I'm eating.
Fuck you. I'm eating. yeah. Carl's Jr. takes over Child Protective Services.
Please come back when you can afford to make a purchase. Your kids are starving. Carl's Jr. believes no child should go hungry. You are an unfit mother. Your children will be placed in the custody of Carl's Jr.
And it's, yeah, like with Gatorade buying the FDA and outlawing water, like they, I'm sure you've heard the line, like when he realizes the crops are dying, because he's like the smartest man in the world now that everyone's retarded.
Yeah.
And they're watering the crops with Gatorade, or it's called Brondo in the movie, and the thirst mutilator. It's got electrolytes. And they're like, he's like, well, the crops might grow if you put water on it. And they're like, water? Like from the toilet? Why would you want to drink water? I had never seen a plant grow out of no toilet. Shit like that. But one more clip here, and then we'll get back to McKenna, because
you got hepatitis.
This, he goes to the hospital, and his doctor, because he's still like, this is like right after he wakes up pretty much from his 500 year nap, and this is his doctor diagnosing him with his illness.
Right. Kick ass. Well, don't want to sound like a dick or nothing, but it says on your chart that you're fucked up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded. What I do is just like you know, like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm serious here.
Don't worry, Scrow. Now there are plenty of tards out there living really kick-ass lives. My first wife was tarded. She's a pilot now.
I need for you to be serious for a second here, okay? I need help.
There's that fag talk we talked about. Right, so that'll be this many dollars. And if you could just go ahead and, like, put your tattoo in that shit.
Oh, and also, everyone has, like, a barcode tattoo on their arm. So he gets arrested for not having his... It's, like, straight-up Mark of the Beast shit.
Joe had awakened to a world in crisis. The economy was in a state of deep neglect. A great dust bowl had ravaged food supplies, and the number one movie in the country was called Ass. And that's all it was for 90 minutes. It won 8 Oscars that year, including Best Screenplay.
Anyway, so you get the idea.
That's great.
You definitely got to see that movie. It's a good.
I totally missed that.
I like money. Yeah,
oh, man.
I like money though.
Anyway, after that tangent, I think
that's not a tangent. That's perfect.
It does tie into the like, and it does seem like we're headed that way, especially when it comes to corporations just owning everything. I mean, we're already. A lot of that movie has become more and more true, but as far as a novelty generator, it doesn't necessarily have to be making things better. It just could be making them more interesting.
Well, let's just talk about Mike Judge for a second, because Mike Judge is arguably more turned on and more honest than Terrence McKenna.
Oh yeah, I would agree.
Right. And he's reached more people with his message encoded in some way that people can understand it.
And he's friends with Alex Jones.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com.
Yeah.
he hangs out with Alex in Austin. They go shooting and stuff. He's done a couple interviews on Infowars, Mike Judge.
And that's great. And also, he's more down to earth. I think Terrence McKenna is a space cadet, and he could have been running disinformation. We don't know, you know, you covered him in your show, I don't know. Did you conclude whether or not he's a working for the agency?
Yeah, we played some clips between him and his brother Dennis. It seems like Terrence was at the very least an FBI informant, but more likely some kind of CIA operative.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I was on the run from the FBI until they recruited me, and they said, with a mouth like yours, you'd be great for our organization. Now, of course, Dennis and other McKenna defenders say he meant the mushrooms recruited him. The fungus recruited him, which, you know, that's plausible. But then near the end of that episode, we played some clips of McKenna saying that we need to implement laws to limit the birth of men, and that the world would be better if it was 75% women, and he would be interested in seeing policies to limit male birth. Yeah. So he's a eugenicist.
Yes.
And you could argue, and this is like from the globalist population control perspective, that if you're dumb enough to let us kill you, then you probably deserve to die. I mean, that is the best way to prevent an idiocracy scenario where the dumb people outbreed the smart people. If you're looking for a good way to have the species move forward into a very enlightened, technologically advanced, peaceful age, maybe you could argue that maybe we should kill all the dumb people that are dumb enough to, you know, take the vaccine that hasn't even been tested on animals yet and has God knows what in it. I mean, you could argue that eugenics is the best way to prevent an idiocracy scenario where everyone's retarded. I don't think that's a good way to do it, but...
So what you're saying is that if you listen to Alex Jones, right, then you'll be saved.
Well, there's valid criticisms of Alex Jones in some ways where I do think he gives some good advice, but there's a lot of people that make good points where it's like Alex, he presents a lot of problems and points out a lot of problems that are very real problems and has a lot of good information, but he doesn't offer many solutions.
No, he does not offer. Well, he does. His solution is buy super male vitality.
Right.
That's a solution.
He does promote some things that are good, like he doesn't sell guns and ammo, but he says probably get some. I think that's a good idea. It's storable food. Mm-hmm. Overall, he's not – I think there are better – there's nobody's as entertaining as Alex in the quote unquote truth community, but there are definitely people with better solutions than he has.
Well, let's not talk about solutions here because we have to separate truth from solutions, because I listen to like radical leftists and they present all types of truth. Like they have all types of true criticisms of the West. They have true criticism of capitalism. They can truthfully criticize America. Their solutions is the destruction of America, right?
Right. Give me some example of some of the leftists you listen to, like anybody I would know.
Well, let's just start with Noam Chomsky.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right?
Who I like half the time, and then half the time I think he's out of his damn mind. But
exactly. Or I listen to the Best of the Left podcast, and I clip them.
Yeah, you got me on that. There's some good ones on there. Yeah, Best of the Left's good.
They had some. I don't know if you heard some of those clips. I have to show you some of my clips. They're like, but and I've been listening to the real source of information that I'm onto is this New Books Network. Like I started. So I'll start you off. Do you ever listen to the conspiracy guys?
Yeah. I actually what's his name? The main guy. He's supposed to be coming on here soon.
He's Irish?
Yeah. He's supposed to be coming on soon. I don't know when that's going to happen, but he's cool. I don't listen to their show as much as I'd like, but every time I listen to it, it's really good.
That's because they're on Spreaker. It's like, dude, get off of Spreaker, you know?
Yeah. And so much of it's behind paywalls and stuff. But
Thank you. And that's what makes people illegitimate, in my opinion. Like, I'm all into open access.
Yeah. Well, sure. Value for nothing is the way to go, I suppose.
For now, we currently operate on the value for value, value for V4N model. What is that?
Value for nothing.
Okay. Oh, I got it. No ads, no paywalls, and we don't accept donations.
Yeah.
That's right. It's called a hobby.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Keep your money.
So you got to listen to Seth Godin. Seth Godin's all about making money and marketing. He's a super intelligent guy.
Oh, yeah.
But he's like,
I'm into it. Jews rock!
I love Jews!
Yeah, I wish I was better at making money. I am not very fiscally literate.
Gotcha.
But I got $600 in the mail the other day. Hey, yo.
Oh, you did? Awesome. Did you go to the check cashing place around the corner to...
They just went straight to the bank account. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the mail. I don't know why I said that. It was direct deposit. But, yeah. So, three cheers for, you know, printing a bunch more money and tripling or quadrupling the amount of money in the circulation of the U.S. economy so that our children and grandchildren will have to pay $20 or $30 for a loaf of bread in the future. Yay. All right.
$20 yeah. or $30. That's nothing. Let's just start with,
yeah.
Let's start with, you know, $100. Let's just look at $100.
That was another thing in Idiocracy. It was like the smallest currency. It was like the smallest amount of money, like paper money, was $1 billion. I think was like their equivalent of their $1 bill.
Yeah,
yeah. It's got like pro wrestlers on the money instead of politicians.
That's crazy. It's like I want a 1 trillion Trumps for.
That's one of my. I wish I need to find that clip. One of my favorite Alex Jones clips is like right when Trump got elected. Alex Jones was like, "If Trump pulls this thing off, he'll be bigger than George Washington. His face will be on the money 200 years from now on Mars." I was
like, Space Force.
Space Force.
Space Force. So the thing with Trump and, you know, if I played D&D, I would play neutral. Right?
Right. What if you played DMT?
If I played, so DMT, I have to say that there's been certain times on my walks where I definitely tapped into some DMT. Like I'm
just like flow state.
I'm definitely hitting a DMT high on my walk. I'm walking through the night, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like going through these mental worlds, and I'm going into these ever expanding fractal thought patterns. And it's definitely, I'm working out this whole theory. I think that we're generating DMT, or we're using DMT to generate imagination.
I like this. Yeah.
Right?
No, it's been really cool on Streamer Random hearing you like work through all these thoughts. It's a cool journey. And what's the name of that dude?
Chicken Jar?
Yes.
AKA it was Harry Reid.
Yeah, it was like, it was so funny when he had like the classical music and he's like, sounds like cooking food or doing dishes or something. And like the whole.
Yeah, he's doing the dishes in the background.
So funny. It was like a nice aesthetic. It was cool.
Well, so our whole thing is life is happening, right?
Right.
Like if we're going to do a podcast while walking down the street, like shit is happening.
You know? It's very Alan Watts, you know? Mm-hmm. Like how Alan Watts would talk about like you like something as simple as walking or doing the dishes can be the most joyful thing ever. It just like depends on your outlook and your ability to get into that flow state.
Yes.
Be here now. But yeah, no, I do like the concept of just like instead of like most people do, like I do, is, you know, set aside a time where you're just gonna podcast. It's like, no, why can't you just podcast while you're doing your everyday activities? It's a cool concept.
Well, for me, it's just, I started with Jocko. It was with Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan and Jocko are like, you have to, Joe Rogan's like, you have to beat your inner bitch, right? You have to overcome your inner laziness.
Right.
And Jocko is like, Just do it. Get up at 4 in the morning and do your workout. So I started doing that, and I started going on my walks. And I would listen to podcasts. And eventually I started talking to people on Telegram and calling people. And then I'm like, I'll just record a voice message and send it to someone. And then I started like, okay, let's restart the podcast effort. And I've been getting into this whole mobile recording. I just picked up a mobile mixer. It's called Just Mixer from Amazon. And it's got 4 channels. And I'm going to hook up 2 mobile phones to it so I can have a soundboard.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to get that all set up. I got a new mic. A new clip mic and one of these dead cat things on it. I'm getting myself set up for, you know, just doing like outdoor recording and streaming. I'm not saying everyone should do it, but for me, my primary thing is like getting up off my ass and, you know, put down the Cheetos, get off the couch and move, you know, because we're sitting in front of the computer all day. And especially in America, you know, I lived in Europe for a long time. I lived in Germany. I walked everywhere. I rode my bike. I didn't have a car until I was 40. Can you believe that? I didn't have a driver's license.
Wow. How long were you in Europe?
Until I was 40. Like until 2012, we moved back. We moved to Kansas.
Damn. That's a big,
you know,
change.
Living on my mom's couch.
Is that where you were born in Kansas, or were you born in Europe?
My mom was born in Kansas. I was born in New Jersey. My dad went to college in Kansas and met my mom. So we had like the Italian, European, like immigrant New Jersey side of the family. And then we had the Scotch, Irish, English, hillbilly, farmer, pick-up truck driving other side of the family. And so I'm like the mix between the two.
That's pretty cool. You got the best of all the worlds in there.
We used to go down to Arkansas into the sticks.
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Go down to Arkansas. Well, I think they actually called it Arkansas. Go through Missouri, and then we go down to Arkansas. We go fishing. Drive the pick-em-up truck. And my grandpa would go fishing for like 3 months a year.
Right.
And he'd like set up his whole camp there. It was great. Had a good time. Anyway, I don't know how we got here, but I'm just telling a little bit of my story.
I like it, man. But we were talking about...
I used to walk.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I used to walk to Germany, and like I didn't own a car. I was a militant bicyclist. But now I'm even off of bicycling, because bicycling is bad for your butt, and it's bad for your lower back. Like
I have the worst
posture.
Like right now, I'm sitting with like the worst posture ever. So,
Well, I challenge everyone who's listening. I challenge you as well. Do 10,000 steps a day. Just get up.
Can I just like,
yeah,
if I will it, like if I like in my mind do 10,000 steps, like the secret, like Oprah's The Secret, will that?
Let's put it this way.
I just believe that I did 10,000 steps.
You can lie to yourself and say you did it. you can do that. Self-deception is always an option.
Everybody's good at that.
Oh my God.
I don't think there's a human being on the planet that isn't self-deceptive in some ways.
Absolutely. And narcissistic.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying today. It's true. I was saying,
it's real.
That's why you need a second person on your podcast. That's why we need the Democrat and Republican Party to keep each other in check. Because the founding fathers knew that people are lying, cheating sons of bitches.
This is so important. We have to do this.
And if you don't have the two parties keeping each other in check, then you're going to have things running rampant.
Yeah, I would agree. the pendulum can't swing too far in one of the two directions. You got to have that yin and yang, right?
And there's been the whole history of work and labor. Like, people used to have no rights at all. They didn't even have weekends. You had child labor. You had pollution.
I said bring all that stuff back. I don't see what the problem was.
If you listen to this Best of the Left, they have the history of the left. And they go through all of that, like the history of the left in America. And these guys are like saying things like, oh yeah, communism was great. Russia, communism didn't fail in Russia. They just took a wrong turn. They need to try it again.
They didn't do it right.
They didn't do it right. We know how to do it better. We're going to do it better in America. That's what they think.
Yeah. Well, that's that's the age-old thesis, right? It's like socialism and communism. It's like, it's not that it doesn't work. It's just nobody ever did it right, you know?
Let me invite you to go for a trip to Albania.
Is that where the vampires are?
That's Transylvania. That's Transylvania. I've been to Transylvania. I've been to Albania, and they're actually related to each other. The old Romanians and the old Greeks and the old Albanians all have those weird skirts, the white skirts and the pom-poms on their shoes. They're called vlaks or valakai or tosks. There's this whole group of people, like ancient people from that area, and they're all related to each other culturally.
Ooh.
Yep.
Not in an incestuous way,
I mean, they all have the same clothes, so there's some kind of cultural, symbolic relationship there.
I don't know.
Oh, by the way, I don't think they like being called fags anymore. I think nowadays they prefer homos.
Christopher Walken. Hey, you want to do this? I derailed us pretty bad, but do you want to do this second Terrence McKenna clip? I never got to it.
Sure. Well, let's play the Alex Jones. We actually never got through. We never got through actually even discussing Terrence McKenna first clip. But I did. All I wanted to say there is that he's saying his theory is that the fungus came to Earth recently, like this particular fungus.
It ties in with his stoned ape theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's very possible that that particular fungus, came recently, that it developed recently, and then it jumped between planets. But my theory is...
Almost as if the fungus was created some kind of hyperdimensional link to another planet?
Well, let's just say, I mean, even if it wasn't hyperdimensional, but it could have been. Very could have been. And
like a psychic connection to another planet.
It's very possible that there's a connection between the fungus across the galaxy, that it's coming from a common entity, or it's going through some kind of wormhole. It's possible that things can travel through the fungus, through the planets. I haven't really worked that whole thing out. I was just thinking, like, on a physical level, like, it developed on one planet. Like, he's saying that, in that clip, he's saying that that the beings re-engineered themselves. So they gained control of their genes, they gained control of their minds, and they re-engineered themselves into the fungus to spread out. Right? They reached some level which they were able to turn themselves into the fungus and then transported themselves through the fungus into the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Terrence, I think, is saying. And that's possible. And that's possible that happened later. So there's a couple of different theories that I've been working on. I don't have any conclusions. And I have to also say, these are just completely speculative theories, right?
Right.
So the one idea that I had when I was listening to Terrence was, okay, there was another fungus that caused life on this planet and many others. So that was like the first generation. It just spread out and spawned like the life.
Well, I don't think you'd have any life functioning, at least the way we know of it functioning on Earth. Plants and animals rely on like the mycelial network to, on a biological level, to function and for things to decompose and minerals to be transferred. So, yeah, there wouldn't be life without fungus. So it would stand to reason that fungus might have been the element that was that created it, if there is an intelligent, because it's, you know, obviously fungus isn't a, mushrooms aren't an animal or a vegetable, it's something else.
It's its own life form, its own kingdom. And life could not exist on the surface of the planet without the fungus. And also, when you have a lava flow in Hawaii, the first thing to grow on top of the lava as soon as it cools is fungus or lichen, which is a mold, slime, fungus, symbiote.
Lichen.
Lichen.
I'm liking it.
Now, the second Terrence McKenna clip talks about the symbiote, if you want to play that. But I have
the mushroom.
Go ahead. I stepped on you.
No, please, go ahead, play it.
The mushroom, if you can believe what it says in one of its moods, is a symbiote, and it desires symbiosis with the human species. It achieved it early by associating itself with the domesticated cattle that people keep. In other words, like the plants man grows and the animals he husbands, the mushroom sought to inculcate itself into that family, because it's very clear that where human genes go, those genes will be carried. It's the old develop burrs so you can attach yourself to the fur of an animal and it will carry you with it wherever it goes. The mushroom, by being domesticated by human beings, has become a part of the human family. But this is all just beginning. Speaking for a moment in terms of the classic mushroom cults in Mexico, they were destroyed by the coming of the conquest. The Franciscans had an absolute monopoly on theophagia, which is eating God. And when they came upon these people calling a mushroom Tiononacatl, the flesh of the gods, they set to work with the Inquisition and were able to push this thing into the mountains of Oaxaca so that it only survived in a few villages until Valentina and Gordon Wasson went in the 1950s and found it there.
Yep.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead. You go.
It reminds me, I guess he's kind of what he was saying, but it reminds me of all those cultures from around the world, like the ones that figured out how to take out of the thousands of plants in the Amazon. Uh-huh. You know, they aged thousands of years ago. They figured out which two to combine it and the exact temperature to combine the bark and the root and make ayahuasca. And when asked the ancient tradition, like how they figured this out, they say, oh, the plants told us. So it's almost like like the fungus or the mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
Or the DMT elves or whatever, it's like they found the they came to the consumers rather than the consumers coming to them. It's it gets into like, you know, the Mother Ayahuasca and like it's the voice of the earth and Mother Nature. And
well, let me just throw some things at you. Like, this is where we're getting into the Gödel number. Like, you have this program that's packed into a number. And there's different layers to it, where one part of the program will tell you how to decode the rest of the program. So one part of the message is telling the people how to decode the rest of the message. They're like, you know, it's slowly gaining more and more connection to them, to these primitive people. And then it's like, okay, well, it comes to you in a dream, and then the dream says, go eat this plant, and then you eat that plant, and the plant says, oh, well, now I've got a better connection to you. Let me tell you about these other two plants, right? So the question is, first of all, where does this all come from, right? Is it part of you know, this, is it a pre-packaged thing, like a code, like some spaceship that's like crash landed into the mountain, like buried deep under the mountain. It's just got like this, all of the stuff there. Is the fungus part of the colonizing force? Is it like,
is it God?
Is it God?
Mm-hmm.
Is it what created life to begin with on this planet?
Yeah.
And now it's like, I finally created you, and now I finally have something I can talk to. Why don't you do this for me?
This is super anecdotal, but back in the day on Arrowhead, I remember reading a handful of reports of people that I think they were... These guys had been eating mushrooms every day for months and months, so they were losing it. They were definitely losing it. But this, there's a couple guys, different guys, independent. They would, I think they were in the UK, one of them, and then one of them was down South Florida, maybe. And they had similar stories, independent of each other. I was reading on Arrowhead, and it was, they were like trying to stop eating mushrooms because they were kind of losing their minds a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they, I would hear similar reports where they would start having dreams, and a couple of them referred to it as like demonic or like mushroom demons or something. They would mm-hmm. have dreams with like a being talking to them and showing them exactly where the mushrooms were. And sure enough, they'd go out in their backyard in the exact spot, or into the woods, the exact spot their dream mm-hmm. was. And there'd be the cubensis mushrooms there waiting on them. Pretty, mm-hmm. pretty wild.
But what if the dream was them inhaling the spores?
Like when they, oh yeah, I like that idea. Or, trips ripple backwards in time, so the only reason mm-hmm. they had that dream is because when they ate it in the future, it rippled backwards in time.
Okay. Well, what if there is no time?
Well, there isn't, right? But that's hard. It's like McKenna says, there's a world outside of language. It's just hard as hell to talk about it. So yeah, there's no absolutely. time, but like mm-hmm. how do you explain that in a mathematical or linear way?
Well, I have a whole series of episodes, if you ever want to torture yourself, where I go over Wolfram, Stephen Wolfram, A New Kind of Physics, where he's interviewed by Lex Fridman.
Oh, wait, I think I have heard at least some of this, yeah.
And sure. It's so dense, and I only started to scratch on it, and I tried to break it down. I didn't really succeed in breaking it down, but maybe I kind of softened it up a little bit. But he's talking about how time is just a construction of what part fits together how, and that the time is just the necessary order that you need to follow in order to do something.
Right. Yeah, like Alan Watts talks about, it's meaningless. It, like, time is totally useless and not real unless you actually want to, like, it's only necessary so that, like, you and I, when we did this podcast, could say, okay, yeah, we're going to start around 5.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, if you're in your own world, you really don't need any, the artificial construct of time.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
It's hard. I've experienced timelessness, whether it's, I mean, even when you're doing something like like playing a video game or playing mm-hmm. some kind of sport, like ultimate frisbee or basketball or anything that you get sucked into, like, where did all that time go? You know, it's like, it might seem like, and tripping is the perfect example of this, where time dilates in such a way where, you know, 1 minute seems like, could feel like 2 hours.
Absolutely.
And I have not had this happen, but I know a couple people who had this happen to them simultaneously, and I've heard it from other people too. It was synthetic psilocybin, like synthesized psilocybin, which I have never tried. I've never tried. It's apparently what Leary gave Ram Dass back in the day when he was Richard Alpert at Harvard.
Well, isn't that what LSD is? LSD is synthesized psilocybin?
No, LSD is like synthesized ergot. It's still, they're both a fungus, but
the ergot. Oh, so we haven't even gotten into this, but the ergot and the psilocybin, I think, are both hitting the same serotonin dopamine receptors. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know enough about this.
Yeah, they all hit the same receptors. As far as I know, all psychedelics hit the same receptors. Like LSD replaces your serotonin molecule, or your serotonin where it would go in. It goes in there instead into your serotonin receptors. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms are close to DMT. Psilocybin is. But anyways, this synthetic psilocybin. It was a couple people I know tried it, and in the course of 5 minutes on the beach, and this freaked them out to where they were rattled from it months later. Still, like, I mean, this is like an earth shattering thing that happened to them, because I mean, I've seen gears in the sky allegedly and all this stuff, and like, you know, gears and pulleys and like the moon increasing in size to where it takes up the whole earth. But this one hasn't happened to me that happened to them. And I've heard it happen to somebody else. Same thing with the synthetic psilocybin. They're sitting on the beach in this one case. It happens to both of them simultaneously. The clouds, everything starts moving really fast. The sun sets. Mm-hmm. The sun sets. The moon comes up. The stars rotate around the earth faster and faster. And the sun and the moon, the sun sets, the moon comes up. And like the cycle of like a full week's time or more happens in the course of 5 minutes, and they watch the shade and the trees and everything, and
like a time lapse
you would see on like a mm-hmm. National Geographic documentary of the out in the desert, but they saw that happen in real time, and that is makes you think a lot about the nature of perception and just reality in general, and how subjective and strange the world we're in really is.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to throw something in here. So let's just think. So here's some perspectives on what I have been thinking about. That first of all, consciousness, I've been getting into this biosemiotics, and they're talking about how all living cells have consciousness and agency. They're actually making decisions. Right? Mm-hmm. And then that everything is built out of atoms. And other people, I think Terrence is also talking about how it's the holofractal. The holofractal dude, is talking about how inside of protons is a black hole. Inside of the atoms, inside of yourself, are black holes.
Right.
And our bodies and our consciousness is built out of atomic particles that are themselves conscious.
Yeah. As above, so below, kind of thing.
Yes. So that it's not necessarily humanity is just the compressing and the organizing of these conscious things into more and more dense material. I'm trying to think of who said that. I think it was Terrence McKenna. He was saying that. I think it's in one of those Terrence clips, actually.
I got them pulled up if you have a specific one.
I do. I have it all here noted. Hold on. Maybe.
The world is stranger than you can imagine.
I don't have this all organized right now. We'll have to punt and just say, I'm just kind of throwing things together. But basically, they're just saying that we have consciousness beyond our mind. And our mind is just collecting and organizing things in a certain way that's more dense. He was saying like it's like the densest part of the universe is the human mind, where all these things are coming together. It's either Nassim.
Right. It's kind of, is what you're saying, it kind of, it's not exactly the same, but it reminds me of Duncan Trussell's old thing where he...
Maybe it was Duncan Trussell, yeah.
Possibly, but he's always talked about, he's explained it so many different ways, but like the universe, like every living thing is a different antenna of the universe or God or whatever you want to call it, experiencing itself, like all appendages on the same...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The one, you know, if you've ever had any kind of mystical experience, that's the main thing you get out of it is, oh my God, it's all one. Everything is one thing.
Yes.
All of existence. But,
and we're just the cup that holds this, this essence of God in a certain way.
Right. One of the drops in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Experiencing being a little drop for a little while. So you drip back into the full ocean and experience being the full ocean for a little bit. But, speaking of Duncan Trussell, have you seen his show on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
I cannot recommend it enough. It's called The Midnight Gospel. Write that down, because okay. That is...
Oh, yeah, he was talking about that. I haven't watched it.
It's so damn good. And it's cool, because I've been listening to his podcast for years. So what they did is they took old episodes of his podcast and animated them. And it was the dude that makes Adventure Time. Did the animation.
Adventure Time? I don't know that.
Oh, that's a great Cartoon Network show. Real trippy. I mean, it's probably the only kid show I've seen talk about dimethyltryptamine. But, Midnight Gospel. Definitely check that out.
And I will.
We'll have plenty to talk about on our next episode together. The last episode of that show is a tearjerker. Because he recorded a podcast with his mom right before she died, and that one is the last episode they animated.
That's sad.
First episode's Dr. Drew. And for some of those episodes, they'll have him come back in to record a little bit to add to the old podcast so that they can kind of make it work. But most of the audio is just straight from his old podcast, and they animate it, and it's a great, just a really creative, awesome show.
That's great. I was listening. I clipped his recent. I had two clips from his recent show.
Jason Louv.
I was just. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. He is. If I'm not mistaken, he is one of the guests in that show. He plays a bird.
Jason Louv is going on about the. He's going on about the AI apocalypse.
Yeah, I heard this episode when you were playing those clips. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I love Duncan. His politics lately have kind of annoyed me. Got real case of TDS, but you know, not everybody's nobody's perfect, right? Everybody's got dumb opinions on some things.
But he's able to recognize it, and he sees the memes. And you know, I guess if you live in Team Blue territory, you know, as someone at work, he's like, I was up visiting my dad. He's like, where are you up in Trumpistan again? And I'm like, yep. It's like, well, what do you call the rest of the country? I said, Communist China.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, I didn't realize I still had these. I still have all, I mean, I'm not going to play them all because there's like 50 clips, but I have all my old clips from the McKenna episode. If you want to hear a little bit about why McKenna might be in the CIA here.
Yeah, please, let's play it.
All right.
Oh, but wait, I haven't said...
Oh, sorry.
Can you stop one second?
Yeah, yeah.
What if the CIA is the fungus?
Yeah, I think that might be in one of the clips I have, if not a different interview with Dennis McKenna, because Dennis McKenna, defending his brother, says, sure, I could say that Terrence and I worked for the CIA, the Celestial Intelligence Agency. Mm-hmm. Ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that. Play it.
I'm real curious about one thing. Why is it important for you to do this?
I wonder myself. You mean, am I the alien ambassador, whether I like it or not? Well, I often when asked this question, I've said, you know, it beats honest work. I mean, my brother is a PhD in three subjects and works in hard science. And I don't think it's brought him immense happiness, not that he's despondent, but I was always kind of a slider, you know? And certainly when I reached La Chorrera in 1971, I had a price on my head by the FBI. I was running out of money. I was at the end of my rope. And then they recruited me and said, you know, with a mouth like yours, there's a place for you in our organization. And, you know, I've worked in deep background positions about which the less said, the better. And then, you know, about 15 years ago, they shifted me into public relations, and I've been there to the present.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like I when I rang the bell, that, like one of those things by itself might not mean some kind of three-letter agency, but you take all those different things in that little clip that he's saying, and it seems like he's dancing around the fact that he's CIA. I have several more CIA McKenna clips, but we don't need to go through them. I like that one the best, but I got Dennis talking about it, and he gets very upset and defensive anytime somebody even brings up MKUltra and him and McKenna being a possible thing. I got Jan Ervin talking about DMT and Joe Rogan on Alex Jones, if you want to hear that.
Well, I was just going to say, No Agenda was bringing up that the whole Berkeley thing with
right.
the MK Ultra.
Yep.
And you know, I've been working on this whole pyramid, eye in the pyramid thing, and I've been struggling with whether or not the eye in the pyramid is the fungus or not. Whether it's a control structure, and
I've always associated it with something nefarious, but
the one thing that I wanted to say that kept on popping into my mind is that Terrence McKenna is playing the role of Loki, of the trickster, the left-handed path.
Yeah, for sure.
So go ahead, play your other clip.
Oh,
these are great clips.
Well, I mean, shit, I got way more on the CIA, but skipping ahead of that, if you want to hear Jan, and we haven't played enough Alex Jones on the show, so.
Jan.
Yeah.
So go ahead and reveal for the first time ever when you got Joe Rogan to take DMT.
Well, we were at Joe's house in his house in Bell Canyon. And this was, like I said, 2003, 2004 in his little movie theater that he had there. And, you know, I had been doing research on it, and I believed all the hype by guys like Professor or Dr. Rick Strassman, who did the DMT, the Spirit Molecule book. And he's really the one that hyped all of this originally. And his book, which you can't verify really any of it because it's behind confidential research reports from the people who participated in his study, which was funded by the Scottish Rite Freemasonry. But we were at Joe's place, and I don't remember who went first, but there was a guy, Johnny, there also, and we all just took our turns. You know, it's you know, you do kind of see some bizarre sort of demonic world. A lot of people claim to see elves and different sorts of creatures in there. I saw sort of a checkerboard sort of world with round and different shaped objects shaped
like
checkerboards.
Which, again, is very Masonic, very, very M.C. Escher.
Yeah, well, they're true that. And but Eddie Bravo actually kind of had a bad trip. And, of course, Eddie Bravo is a fighter, and he's the only guy who took down Horsey Gracie in a fight back then, jiu-jitsu.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he didn't have a good experience. He started trying to fight. I was glad that Joe was there because at least Joe knew jiu-jitsu to try to help control Eddie from going, speaking of berserk, on us. But, you know, oh so...
well, repeat you know, what you told me, though, because he was in his prime then, and, I mean, he was going to unscrew both your heads. Thank God Joe talked
well,
about
I
it.
Mean, well, I mean, I wouldn't say he was... He just wanted to fight in general and fight
well, you
everybody
said, quote, we're lucky he didn't break both our necks.
Yeah, we are lucky he didn't break both of our necks. I heard because this yeah. I'm no jiu-jitsu fighter, and I couldn't have taken Eddie on. I couldn't have talked him down. So I'm glad that Joe was there to be able to do that.
Yeah, Jan Ervin is a very he was on the higher side chats, and it got really heated. It's weird because he introduced Rogan to DMT. He was, he's a really smart, educated botanical expert, really spearheading like the DMT research and all this stuff for a while. And then he now is super against it. And his thesis is basically Terrence McKenna and all these guys. I think Timothy Leary was CIA controlled opposition, but Jan Ervin takes it a step further. And he says the whole modern psychedelic movement is still part of MK Ultra. The program never stopped. And these aren't really hallucinogens or even entheogens. These are suggestogens.
Okay.
And I can keep playing if you want. I don't really subscribe to this, but I like,
that's interesting. That's interesting. Can you play the, can you play the Alex Jones alien clip from 9/11? That I sent you?
Yes. I think, is this it?
Can aliens? We combine both? I keep coming back to that.
Can we do it?
Because I want to know.
You want to
what
do, it?
Do they know about aliens?
What do you want me to tell you?
What are they?
What do you want me to tell you?
Real.
I'll tell you right now. What I say is not political, and it's not from my particular perspective.
Okay.
It's from the known knowledge in the universe.
Okay.
We live in a third dimensional plane. We can see the planets, the galaxies, the suns, hundreds of billions of galaxies photographed, universes. We live in an amazing space-time continuum. The elites believe that it's not in the third dimension that we're mainly receiving transmissions. Ships don't arrive from Alpha Centauri or Gedi Prime or wherever they're coming from or Betelgeuse. They come here through interdimensional gates that are much closer, through fold space. And so we have to discuss the different influences that are in the universe and the fact that we have free will and we decide what we want. I don't believe in any of this. I'm simply telling you what the elites believe.
So they believe that there's another dimension, and these beings are from another dimension.
A bunch of dimensions. And they need baby blood, right? They need somehow they need baby
well,
blood,
our brain
right?
is able
right?
to tune in. Let me tell you.
We're
really powerful.
I didn't make this up. Okay.
We're made the image of our creator. Our brain is able to tune into the lowest dimension, the highest dimension. Humans are basically really powerful creatures that can live right close to suns. They're highly radioactive. Nothing else can live this close. We have very short lives because we're like a hive organism that actually lives second to second in the space-time continuum. It's like 100 years. It's a second. And we transmit our data up to be able to live next to, like, these Stargate jump gates that are suns. So because we live so close to these suns, we only have, like, milliseconds to be alive. So we're actually a hive organism that keeps transmitting up to the next species in our hierarchical system.
Can I back it up about 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of the most profound. Like, Alex Jones, especially because he smoked a bunch of weed on this one. But, man, he is, like... He has sometimes he'll say stuff that's mind blowing, and this is one of those examples where it's like intuitively something I kind of already thought, but the way he breaks it down, where it's like humans are a hive organism, mm-hmm. and I'll just play it again. I like the Stargate jump gates.
Very short lives, because right close to suns, they're highly radioactive. Nothing else can live this close. We have very short lives because we're like a hive organism that actually lives second to second in the space-time continuum. It's like 100 years. It's a second. And we transmit our data up to be able to live next to, like, these Stargate jump gates that are suns. So because we live so close to these suns, we only have, like, milliseconds to be alive. So we're actually a hive organism that keeps transmitting up to the next species in our hierarchical system and then down below us. So we're alive right now in this continuum. And we're trying to progress and make things better. And the elites are trying to make sure that we don't dial into that incredible knowledge we've got as a species and basically die as a species so that we're not competitors on the next level, as the Bible says, of the interdimensional plane.
But God, you don't believe that. But you don't believe that. You're just saying that's what they believe.
Oh, yes, exactly. I don't believe in anything.
What do you believe?
No, I mean, I believe in research.
Do you think that... I believe in research, too. Do you think that there is something from other dimensions that can access us?
We are other dimensions. The third dimension is only one limited plane in a larger spectrum.
So you do believe what
they
believe.
So we're a part of that spectrum.
Well, let's just say we're not in Kansas anymore.
Alex, have you ever done DMT?
No.
Do you want to?
I don't need to. I go every night when I go to sleep.
I believe that. It's like he's on natural DMT all
You're
day.
Definitely on something, man, for sure.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Play the clip. The globalists don't believe in Satanism. They believe they're contacting interdimensional aliens.
You found it.
I did.
Awesome. Through the drug use. They're going to merge with the machines, blast off into hyperdimensional space, and that's why they're so crazy. That's why they want to get rid of us. That's why they're smiling and giddy and acting so nuts. They believe they are in contact with these entities and are being directed by them. And the entities are telling them, eternal life, total power, total control, everything you could ever want. Just kill everyone. Set up a world government. Build this design we're telling you. Build what we're telling you. Build this. Build this. Let us through. Build the Hadron Collider. Open the dimensions. Let us in. We're going to really help you. We're friendly little guys.
We're friendly little guys.
We're friendly little guys. This might tie into this.
I was looking for that clip, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll have to clip it out and send it to you. I always lose it. Let's sidetrack from that Jan Ervin and Alex talking about Joe Rogan.
I have been writing down my notes. If at any point I can go back and say some things.
Well, go ahead if you have something on that. I've been kind of...
Oh, yeah, I've got stacks of stuff. I can go on for hours, but let's just start with Checkerboard, Alice in Wonderland. Right?
Yeah, it's what they were talking about with Jan Ervin, like the Masonic.
It's Masonic, but it's also Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
Like she's going in, she's getting smaller, she's getting bigger, transmitting up, transmitting down. Let's just say holo fractal, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been following this whole holo fractal thing, but basically what he's saying is that inside of the sun, inside of the Stargate, inside of the sun is a black hole. And inside of your body, inside of the atoms, is a black hole. And inside of every bit of empty space, it's connected to the entire universe. The jump gates are inside of us. The jump gates are also in the stars, yes. And these connections go up and down into larger and smaller universes inside of a fractal. Now, living second to second, our lives are just a microsecond in the life of a fungus. Like, right. If you have an intergalactic fungus, like, my whole theory is that the entire universe is one cell of one fungus. And that when the star explodes, when the universe collapses or explodes, that's just the fungus sending out its spores. Like, there's a whole universe of universes where each of the universes is just a cell in the fungus.
Yeah. And that's wild. I think that's definitely a possibility, but I also don't think that negates, that doesn't take away from like the meaning and the wonder and like the profoundness of existence. If we are just food for fungus, it's all about your perspective. Like the flat earthers say, the law of perspective.
Different kind. Well, this is the whole thing, the joy of life, and I have a whole bunch of episodes on that. I think that the joy of life is outside of the mind. That there is a joy of being alive that we share with all living things, or even, like Duncan Trussell was saying, even the river stones. And with this whole biosemiotics, he's saying that life is interacting with the river stones. It's life is interacting and bouncing off of its environment. And there's a whole joy of life, I think, independent of human thought, that the humans are just adding in this logic and this symbolic. And but when we turn off the mind, we get outside of the mind, that's where we're going to find our joy.
Yeah, well said. I think, I think you nailed it. There's, are you leading into the life clip?
I don't know. Let's see. The life clip, that's the clip of the whole progression of life that Joe Rogan's talking about. How he's saying that life is getting smaller and smaller. People love technology. I mean, sure, you can play that. That's not the same, though, but sure.
Oh, I do. I remember this.
Duncan Trussell. We need a Duncan Trussell.
Yeah, let's go with Duncan.
I don't have any Duncan Trussell clips ready.
Oh, I can do an impersonation.
Hey, man.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. I'm Duncan.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Hey, man, I'm wearing flip-flops.
let me hit you with this then, to take it back down to the conspiracy angle.
You know, but he doesn't even realize the level of research that I have in MKUltra and these guys.
Yeah, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about all these little guys, okay, that are all trying to have their own deal. We have the Washington Post on screen. CIA infiltrated 17 area groups, gave out LSD, okay? Theodore Kaczynski was in the MKUltra mind control program. A bunch of the professors you list are admittedly in programs funded by DARPA and the CIA. Timothy Leary admitted it all, that the whole thing was run by that.
Absolutely.
Again, they want it down because they are now proliferating, quote, self-help groups all over the country under different names that are practicing classical mind control to try to induct particularly wealthy people into their church. That's what it is. Okay, this is all about power. And all about, you're not on ayahuasca, you're not on DMT, but you get somebody into it who's never done it, and then they think you're God. They think you're their shaman. They worship you. This is the oldest thing. This is what Charlie Manson did with LSD and his cult, period.
Now, this is back when when Alex was pissed at Joe, and Joe was talking, this is before... This is after the 9/11 episode, but before the second appearance, the 5-hour one or whatever.
12:55.
Yeah, this is before 12:55. And this is when Alex said, Jesus told me, destroy Joe Rogan. Yes, sir, Jesus, I will do it. I will destroy you. He's like, I love it. Like, Alex is like, I'm going to get my hands around Joe's scrawny little neck, and I'm gonna gut his belly. I'm gonna cut his belly open and slice his throat and bleed him like a pig, politically, non-violently.
Now,
politically.
Now, on the topic of Jesus, I'd like to throw something in.
Yeah,
there is a great book, which was the last book of Philip K. Dick.
I love Philip K. Dick.
It's called Valis Trilogy, and I have a clip in there with Terrence and Valis, if you want to play that.
And this is the same sort of thing. The mushroom consciousness is the consciousness of the other, both in hyperspace, which means in dream and in the drug trance, at the quantum foundation of being, and in the human future and after death. And all of these places which were thought to be discrete and separate parts are seen to be part of a single continuum. What history is the dash over 10 to 15,000 years from monkeyhood to flying saucer without ripping the envelope of the species so badly that the birth is aborted and fails, and we remain in physis. And history essentially then is the shockwave of eschatology. Something is at the end of time, and it is casting an enormous shadow over human becoming, and it is drawing all human becoming toward it, so that all the wars of history, the philosophies, the rapes, the pillaging, the migrations, the cities, the civilizations, all of this is occupying a microsecond of geological, planetary, and galactic time, as the monkeys
react to the symbiote which is in the environment, which is feeding the information from the true...
That was almost exactly what Alex was talking about with the jump gates, stargates. Humans only live for a second in cosmic time. Was that the right clip? I just realized there's another V-less one.
I don't. I think that's the bigger clip. I think there's a
V-less logos.
Yes, logos.
My bad.
If any of you read Phil K. Dick's one of his last novels, V-less, where he talks about the logos, how it went into the ground. It was a creature of pure information, and it went into the ground at Nag Hammadi at the burying of the Chernobyskian Library in 270. But it was information, and it existed there until 1947. And then the texts were translated, people read them, and as soon as people had the information in their minds, the symbiote came alive, because it is a thing of pure information.
Okay.
How's that for crazy?
That's, yeah. Okay, this, I love Philip K. Dick so much. This is, a similar idea here. I love Philip K. Dick a lot. He's just about the best ever. I'm trying to remember what book this is about that you talk about in the scene, but this is from Waking Life. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, so you know what I'm playing here.
I'm writing it down. You talked about it, though.
Okay, gotcha.
You talked about Waking Life in one of your episodes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. Very, very much what we're talking about here.
Hey, man.
Similar to it. This reminds me of Money from right now.
Weren't you in the boat car?
From Pink Floyd.
Yeah, the guy with the hat gave me a ride in his car boat thing, and you were in the back seat with me.
I mean, I'm not saying you don't know what you're talking about, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, see, you guys let me off at this really specific spot that you gave him directions to let me off at. I get out, ended up getting hit by a car, but then I just woke up because I was dreaming, and later than that I found out that I was still dreaming that I'd woken up.
Oh yeah, those are called false awakenings. I used to have those all the time.
Yeah, but I'm still in it now. I can't get out of it. It's been going on forever. I keep waking up, but I'm just waking up into another dream. I'm starting to get creeped out, too. Like, I'm talking to dead people. This woman on TV's telling me about how death is this dream time that exists outside of life. I mean, I'm starting to think that I'm dead.
I'm going to tell you about a dream I once had. I know that's, you know, when someone says that, that's...
Can you turn that up a little bit?
Very boring.
Unfortunately, it's on YouTube, and that's as loud as I can boost it. I wasn't prepared, but yeah, I'll boost it in post. Sorry.
And you might be, but it sounds like, you know, what else are you going to do, right? Anyway, I read this essay by Philip K. Dick.
What, you read it in your dream?
No, I read it before the dream.
Yeah, you played this in your episode. Where he said...
It was about that book, Flow My Tears, the Policeman Said. Do you know that one?
Yeah. He won an award for
it. Have you read that? Flow My Tears, what? What is it called?
No.
Yeah, nope. I haven't read that Philip K. Dick book either. But it's an interesting scenario that he lays out here. I did read the essay that Philip K. Dick wrote about right when this happened to him.
Right, that's the one...
Flow My Tears,
really fast.
Policeman
it just,
said.
Like, flowed right out of him. He felt he was sort of channeling it or something. But anyway, about 4 years after it was published, he was at this party, and he met this woman who had the same name as the woman character in the book, and she had a boyfriend with the same name as the boyfriend character in the book, and she was having an affair with this guy, you know, the chief of police, and he had the same name as the chief of police in his book. So she's telling him all this stuff from her life, and everything she's saying is right out of his book. So that's really freaking him out, but, you know, what can he do? And then shortly after that, he was going to mail a letter, and he saw this kind of, dangerous, shady-looking guy standing by his car.
So I'd like to stop this for a second and just throw something in.
Yeah.
So I'd like to just say that this is getting into Stoicism, life repeating itself, logos. This is really the question, and this is what I'm getting into with the biosemiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Are we dictated by our program or not?
Yes, right? The question of free will.
Basically, do we have free will? And this is getting into chaos theory that Loeb was talking about in his recent, his last Duncan Trussell, mm-hmm. that they spent all this time studying chaos theory, and then they realized that humans are the most dangerous animals, and they have free will and can cause enormous amounts of chaos. So the biosemiotics said all life has agency, and it is not bound by any program at all. Even the genes do not dictate its behavior. And they're talking about neo-Darwinism and how neo-Darwinism is basically tied up with what I would call eschatology. And this is going to get into Jesus and the Roman Empire. So just hold on for a second. So there's a connection here between Jesus and the Roman Empire, right? Mm-hmm. Because have you ever seen The Life of Brian?
Yeah, I actually watched that again recently.
That's a great movie. And they live in the Roman Empire. And then Jesus gets co-opted by the Roman Empire. And they start this whole, the eschatology is what they're talking about, is basically the resurrection. Like they're trying to become better and better and better to become resurrected by God, right? Mm-hmm. And that's part of this whole, I think, this whole empire building, which is in the end destroying of the primitive people and the colonizing. It turns into this colonizing force, basically.
Right. And going back to what you said about the like repetitive nature of reality, the cycle. Mm-hmm. It's almost yes. like a Nietzschean, like the Nietzschean idea that Nietzsche said, like when you die, you just relive your life over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. As soon as you die, you're born, you live the same life, then you die. It's like an infinite loop of the same thing. Nothing changes.
Well, that's what the Stoics said. That's the Stoic.
Right. Philosophy. And like Jim Morrison, The Doors, what was that thing? I can't remember what song. He's like, we're all in the cosmic movie of. When you die, you're going to see your whole life repeating, recurring over and over for eternity. So you better have some good incidents happen and a fitting climax. I don't know what's going to happen, man, but I'm going to get my kicks before the whole shit house goes up in flames. But I love Jim Morrison. But yeah, no, it's a really Nietzschean idea of the, and it's a dark outlook. I don't think that's necessarily how it is. I don't think things are. That's a bleak way to look at things, but it is an interesting thought exercise.
Well, it's a simple solution, and I'm sure that part of the universe is going to repeat over and over again, like as a stable or steady state. And even, I think that I've been meditating on this, I think the universe is repeating over and over again over time, but there's a branching structure when you make decisions. And when you make a decision, it branches or clones and copies the universe and splits it. I've been watching this show called Counterpart on Amazon. And it's a great Berlin spy movie where in East Germany, they built a device that split the universe into two parts. And it was exactly the same, and they were able to travel through this tunnel, and it was an exact mirror image of the world.
It reminds me of Fringe. Once it got into the later seasons, the parallel universe. You've seen Fringe? Really good show.
Look it up.
J.J. Abrams. Yeah, but yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So in Counterpart, then one time they did an experiment, and the one guy did something different, and then that caused a ripple effect and butterfly effect, and then everything changed.
Right, yeah, like the old cliche of you kill a butterfly on one side of the world, mm-hmm. and that chain reaction will, you know, cause a volcano to erupt or something. It's like any one tiny thing. It's like the conundrum of time travel. Like, you know, even in Back to the Future, yes. It's like one little thing goes wrong, and you leave a sports almanac in the wrong place, and Biff is king of the world.
Oh my God! Did you see that one movie with the time travel with Bruce Willis?
Oh, Looper?
Yeah, oh my God.
Dude, that's a good movie.
That is crazy.
It falls apart, though. if you it's, I love that movie so much, but there's certain things that start to not make sense. I mean, it depends on what time travel rules you're using, but it's crazy to see, like, when that dude lets his loop run, he's supposed to kill the old version of himself, but he lets him live. Mm-hmm. And the old, they capture the young version of himself and start chopping off his fingers. And you see the old guy, like, trying to get there, and his fingers are slowly disappearing. And then his legs and arms are slowly disappearing. He's getting scars all over his face from the torturing. It's like, the problem is he never would have made it that far in the timeline once he didn't have legs. So he wouldn't be there without legs crawling around. He never would have made it that far. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. So
you can deconstruct any time travel movie pretty easily. I honestly stand by I still think
traveling backwards in time. He'd be traveling backwards in time.
Yeah, because he never would have made it. If he didn't have legs, his older self never would have gotten to where he was at.
He would have disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still think Back to the Future had the most, like, the closest to, like, how time travel would actually work, I think, is Back to the Future, as far as I can tell. Like, Terminator definitely ain't it. Looper was really good, though.
So I was a big science fiction kid, and the movies are always corrupted by the writers. They always destroy a good book and a good story, just trying to make it, I guess, stupid, dumb it down. I don't know what it is, but Philip K. Dick covered some of these time travel things. I think when he travels back in time and the guy kills the butterfly through the time machine and he causes everyone in the future to get retarded.
Wait a minute. Say that again? That last sentence?
He travels back in time and causes a change. And that change has a ripple effect and causes all of humanity to be retarded. I guess that's a really bad, politically incorrect term. I'm sorry.
No, but what's the? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just confused. What's the movie? Because it sounds like Idiocracy in reverse.
Oh, okay, it's a book from Philip. I'm looking here.
That's funny.
Doctor Futurity. Let's read this. Here we go. Doctor Futurity is a 1960 science fiction novel. He goes into the future. In the future, population is static, no natural birth. Only a death can cause formation. And hold on a second. Let me see. Dinosaurs. Here we go. Yeah.
Well, don't want to sound like a dick or nothing, but it says on your chart that you're fucked up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded.
Why you keep What's trying that? To read that
word? It's the Idiocracy.
Why you keep trying to read that word?
I love this. I love this clip.
Why you keep trying to read that word? You a fag?
I'm trying to read that word. You a fag?
Anyway, Philip K. Dick, he did this future time travel change. I'll put a link into my notes here. But that's the problem with television stories. But what I was trying to say is decisions are made and the universe will split. And I think that splitting of the universe is like a cell cloning itself. You know, like if you have an embryo and it starts with one cell as an egg and then it splits into two cells and four cells.
Right, yeah.
That's also what this guy is talking about, Nassim, he's going into some crazy, crazy stuff, sacred geometry, and he's talking about how the cell splitting four times creates the tetrahedron, and that is that's the pyramid, and that is the most holy of structures, and he goes on and on and on about that. Goes into Buckminster Fuller and he tries to prove everything. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's weird how the pyramid is like considered either like it's geometrically perfect and holy or like demonic in some sort. Like Aleister Crowley was obsessed with pyramids.
Yeah, what did he say? There was the city of pyramids
as like people that channel and like contact entities usually do it underneath a pyramid, like a small one that they construct. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Exactly. Okay. And he was also saying that pyramid.
Lay off the weed.
He was saying that the pyramid, Nassim is talking about the pyramid being the center of the sphere, and how the Mayan tablets indicate that. And he goes on to this whole crazy thing, and he does the whole 2012. It's just this amazingly convoluted connections that he's making.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I think it's all kind of arbitrary, but it's possible that there is some kind of a holy or cosmic geometry. I tend to think that it's because of the nature of our brains that we see it in a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
The eye of the beholder theory. Yeah. Man.
I'm still working on all of this.
It's when you talk about this kind of stuff, it's like there's so many pieces that all fit together, but it's putting a lot of this stuff into a digestible. It's the reason it's really hard to write your own Bible or start your own religion.
Well, I hate to say it, but I've already started. What I'm saying is, we start a synthetic religion or a synthetic belief system to cure ourselves from the control structures. Right?
Yeah.
Because we're being indoctrinated. We're being indoctrinated. And, you know, we look at the Chinese and we say, oh, look at those stupid Chinese people. They're living under communist totalitarian China. Right? But right. We don't realize that we're living under communist totalitarian America.
Sir, we love China very much. Please don't be too tough on them.
You know?
Yeah.
If you listen to, like the critics of the West, if you read, I talked about conspiracy guys. If you read Adorno and Horkheimer and the entire Frankfurt School, and I have episodes on this, and they go into, you know, these are like these German Jews that escaped the Nazis. They come to America in 1940 and they run around in like these tight suits and like they have like thick Coca-Cola glasses and they like read books all day and, you know, like they're real nerds. And they go to California and they're completely freaked out by them and they can't relate with them. And they're so like tightly wound, like, you know, how you can imagine the Germans under the Prussian, under like old Wilhelm, right? I like to call him Big Willy, right? Kaiser Wilhelm. Before World War One, they had the big Kaiser, the Caesar, and Hitler was trying to like be like him, right? He wanted to be Caesar, Julius Caesar.
Right.
So the Germans, they think of themselves as the predecessors of Rome. They think the successors of Rome. They think that they are the descendants of the Roman Empire.
Übermensch.
The Übermensch. And that's where we're getting into this whole... So these guys escaped from that. They come, but they're also still... They were like... They lived in such strict... the German society is so strict and they're so uptight. And they come to America and they're so shocked by what they see. And they see like the frivolous nature. They see how people are being mind controlled. They're saying, how is it possible that they're being exploited by the capitalist and don't complain? Like the book, What's Wrong with Kansas? Did you ever read that?
No, who wrote that?
It's a famous book, and they're basically saying, like, it's basically the same theory over and over again. It's like, how can people who are being oppressed by capitalists and having their rights taken away and being controlled, how can they support the system? Right? How can they be loyal? Right?
Yeah.
And it's this whole head trip. And they studied this. And that's like the whole Frankfurt School critical theory. And that's the basis for also what's going on with Black Lives Matter, with neo-Marxism and postmodern, this whole thing that's happening right now. It's all
connected. I was trying to find a good BLM soundbite.
Play some of the clips from my first podcast, my first episode, where they're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Bitch ass, faggot ass, punk ass, pussy ass, bitch ass, nickel. You want to do something, bitch ass, nickel.
Sorry.
They're saying back in the 40s they laid out the plan for the overthrow of America, where they said we're going to indoctrinate the generations. We have the 100-year plan, the long march with our comrades to destroy America. And they're going to indoctrinate the schools, they're going to take over the school systems, and they're going to start redefining everything. And you have all these studies, you've got like social studies. You have social studies in school?
Oh, is that a question? Do I have social studies in school?
Yeah, when you went to high school, did you have social studies?
Man, haze and a daze. I don't know. I was homeschooled, and then I was public schooled, and then I was private schooled.
Okay.
Probably not, because I was mostly going to Christian schools, so there wasn't too much Marxism or just creationism.
Okay. Well, in New Jersey, we had, the Marxist takeover of communist China, New Jersey. We had social studies. And now it's going into gender studies and, all different African studies and all of these different studies. They're all derived from the Frankfurt School and this whole plot to take over America. And that's kind of one of the other themes that we cover in the Stream of Random podcast.
Shout out Stream of Random.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I got another show coming up, so I'm going to have to wrap. You want to play us out with one more of your clips? I definitely want to do this again soon. We need to do a part two on this for sure.
Well, I wanted to get Chicken Jar on the show for some comedic interlude.
Oh, yeah. We got to do that.
He's fun. He's a fun guy to hang out with.
Now, how do you know? Is he your brother-in-law, or is that a different guy?
No. He's not my brother-in-law. So Chicken Jar,
how do you know Chicken Jar?
So my wife is from the old country, from Kosovo. And back in 2007, I started a mission there to bring open source to Kosovo. And I started a nonprofit, which is still alive today, and they're organizing conferences and stuff. And I met him through that effort. And then he eventually studied in America, in Utica. And we've been in contact. And he now recently went back to the old country to work on his dad's business. So, yeah, I know him through my open source work, actually.
He's an interesting guy. I like the way he thinks. But, yeah, he's cool. So, yeah, we'll definitely hear in
the... Is that your phone?
It's not me.
Oh, someone's calling me. Hold on.
No worries.
Yeah, we got to keep going.
Yeah, I got to bounce too. We got to. But yeah, Chicken Jar.
Thank you so much.
Come on next time, man. And thanks
can
again.
Can I give a shout out to Fletcher? Hey, Fletcher, in the morning, in the smoker, because you had me on your show, Chris, and thank you so much. Fletcher invited me to come onto the Hog Story now.
Oh, that Hog Story is great. So you'll have a lot of fun with that. They're awesome.
I love the Hog Story.
A six pack.
the old Fletcher. Yeah, man. But yeah, thanks again, Mike. And the links, if you're listening, to find Stream of Random will be in the show notes of the podcast. And let's do it again here in the next couple of weeks, or at least within a month. And
can I give the NATO call sign?
Yes.
So it's A as in alpha, N as in Oh, shit. What is N? Norbert in German. I always forget N. What's the NATO alphabet for N, man?
Norbit, like the Eddie Murphy movie?
No.
I have no idea.
North Pole? Oh, I ruined it, man. I ruined it.
Well, hey, you win some and okay, you lose.
See you later, man.
Take hey, care.
anchor.fm/STRE.
Yes. I'll have Spotify and Anchor and any other links you want me to put in the show notes, I'll definitely put in there. Thanks again, man. And if you're listening all live, right, here in about an hour and a half tops, we will be doing our Blue Beam episode with Booberry and the Behind the Schemes guys. So
that's awesome.
And
all right, have fun.
Hey, in the morning, man. Thank you for your courage.
Thank you for your courage.
Thank you for your courage. Thank you, Chris.
See you, man.
Okay, bye.